Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday morning, and it is Blog Talk Radio and the Cosmic Citizen. I am Paula Thompson, and with me are my two dear friends and co-hosts, Crystal and Beek Larson and Andre Rodatis. Hi, you guys.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, I have to start with an apology. We said we were going to have Phyllis Tickle on this week, and that didn't work out. Phyllis had some scheduling conflicts. So we're working to get her rescheduled, and we will have her on. She does want to come on, and we're going to be thrilled to have her. We'd like to have her for more time than less, and it just got less and less. And then, so, you know, Phyllis is not the kind of guest that you can interview in 5 minutes. You got to have some time with me because she has a lot to say, and it's all worth hearing. So we want to give her plenty of time. So we will have her on, and we'll announce that coming up, when that'll be, as soon as we can nail down those details. So today we kind of switched gears, and we've had a show in mind for a while with our good friends and returning guests, Pat O'Banton and Ben Bowler. I think Ben is on with us right now.
Yes, hello. Good morning to everyone. Hello, hello to you, Bowler, and Crystalyn and Andre.
Good morning.
Hello, Ben.
Hey.
Ben and Pato are working on an event that I know they're very excited about. It's scheduled for December 22nd, 2012, and what could be better than that? The day after the world ends.
And we need to remind you to turn off your sound on your computer, Ben. Otherwise, we'll be getting feedback on the air.
Okay, no problem. So if I turn it down like that, how is that now?
You need to actually turn it off.
Okay, how am I going to hear you guys?
He's calling on Skype.
Oh.
Yeah, you seem to be fine. You seem to be fine now. I don't hear any feedback now, Ben.
Okay, no problem. Just let me know. I am calling through on Skype. So
yeah.
If there's any problem, let me know. I can call from my mobile phone if necessary.
Can you hear us okay, Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. So Ben and Pato are working on an event called U-Day. in a celebration of essentially of humanity. And what they're saying, and the reason I know you, I'll let you tell us why you chose December the 22nd, 2012. It's probably obvious to many, but it would be nice to hear your rationale on that. It's set in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and it will start with a concert by Pato, and then continue on into a multi-faith ceremony the following day. And the intention is to mark the moment in history as a significant awakening to a new mortal epoch of internationalism, spiritual perspective, and global viewpoint. So welcome to the show, Ben. Thank you so much. And I hope Pato will call in soon, too. But I know that you can tell us all about it, all about this event.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. I'm just looking for Pato's phone number, actually, because I know he and Antoinette had a concert last night. So trying to get a friendly reminder through to him. But I think his mobile number is on one of his websites there. Certainly, we chose the date, of course, because there's so much expectation around that date. At least it was several years ago. There seems to be, maybe it's just my perception, I'm not sure, but there seems to be a little bit less frantic kind of concern about the date right now than there was maybe a year or two ago. But, of course, it was the end of the Mayan calendar, and lots of people were very excited about that. And the sort of rise of, I guess, an eschatological sense, of these, mythic times that we're living in. And we wanted to take that date and put a positive spin on it kind of present it as something like a coming-of-age event, like a bar mitzvah for a planet. And just to really mark that that moment, just in a very small way, and in a grassroots way, but with the different faiths and the different traditions, and of course using the universal language of music. So the festival is, as you've just said accurately, on the Saturday night, which is the 22nd. It's the music festival, and we're certainly very blessed to have Pato coming, and we have some other great musicians as well. Including a guy called Russ I. Ray from the Easy Star All Stars, who's a very committed, very spiritual guy as well, and part of the Until That Day movement, which is actually born out from the inspiration from Haile Selassie's speech to the United Nations in 1963, which is a remarkable speech with many values that we readers of the Urantia book would certainly recognise. So he's coming. He's quite a big name in his own right, and we've got local artists as well in Thailand. So musically, it's going to be a great event, and it's going to be high quality. And then the next morning, we're then having the spiritual event, which is with the different religions of the world coming together, at least represented by the local groups in Thailand. We do have people coming from Europe as well, and from Turkey, and to celebrate our core unity, and what a day to do it, the day after many people expecting, as you just said, the world to end. So that's the general that's the general concept for it, and it's something that we're hoping is this is the first of many U days, and we want to run it every year or maybe every 2 years. We're not sure yet. And the next one after Chiang Mai is going to be in Istanbul. So we have a representative from Istanbul coming, which is great, from that city. And I'm familiar with a little bit of the scene in Istanbul through our work there with organizations running immersion into Sufism and into Islam through Sufi for a Month and Muslim for a Month programs. Mm-hmm. And it's a real, real hotbed of intercultural activity and interfaith exploration. And Istanbul itself is a pretty amazing city and a symbol of unity with that great bridge connecting Asia and Europe as it does. So yeah, we're excited about the concept, and we're really looking forward to down to the last couple of months now.
That's right. It's coming up right away. So, what inspired the is you for Unity?
Well, see, that's the thing. Is that Paula asking the question?
Yes, it is me.
Paula, we wanted to, come up with a concept that was people were able to read into what they wanted to read into it, and we didn't want it to be explicit. Sometimes when you really name things, you lose half your audience. We could have called it Unity Day or Universal Day or things like that, but we wanted to come up with a symbol that was a little bit more fluid. And in my experience, I guess I lived in Thailand for 5 years, and as a reader of the Urantia book, that's quite an interesting experience to be in a country where the dominant religion is has no concept of a creator God. I mean, the whole conversation just doesn't translate. And it's certainly something I think that stimulated a lot of thinking about how can we get to greater levels of unity when you have such conceptual poverty and such disconnect between language. God talk in a Theravada Buddhist context is meaningless. So trying to capture a new symbol, and the U, I think, means different things to different people, and that's what we were hoping. And we're wanting to really, I think, it's a spiritual event. This is not a sort of one world, we're all on the same planet, so let's all get along, the science, sort of philosophy from John Lennon's song or secular humanism. We are explicitly saying that at our core we're connected by something more than just sharing biology, and that it's something transcendent that is ultimately the grounds for our unity. So that's the flavor of what we're trying to mean with the program and with the event and what we want people to experience during it. So the U can mean different things. I mean, for some people it might mean a personal God. We have the logo is quite a personal look in the logo. The U for some people might mean simply that we are on one world. And for Buddhists it might mean just the grounds of reality that they would call Dharma. As being the transcendent reality which connects and unites us all. So I guess in my experience I've learned that the word God is extremely loaded and very divisive, unfortunately. So we wanted to come up with a new concept that was something new and fresh and didn't have all the baggage of language, and we're using the symbol U. And, of course, the overtones are unity and universal and these sorts of things. But we're trying to leave it unstated to a certain degree and not too explicit.
I love that. Thank you. And I can think of a lot of wonderful words that begin with you. that would fit. That would be very appropriate. Crystalline, were you able to get a hold of Pato?
They're calling in now.
Pato,
yeah.
Are you
all right.
With us? There he is. Hi, Pato.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you're on with us. So
good morning, Pato.
Yeah.
Good morning, Ben. How are you doing?
Did you have a good concert last night?
Yeah, we actually we had a mini Urantia conference. We went to the mini Urantia conference with Will and Margot Sherwood in Santa Clarita. Richard Keeler was there, Tuevo was there, a lot of Urantians was there, and a lot of new readers actually drove up with us to get an introduction from Will Sherwood at the mini conference. And then after the mini conference, after the introduction, we did a performance for the seasoned and new readers, and then we drove from Santa Clarita to Santa Monica to do a performance and a video shoot in Santa Monica to a crowd that was waiting for us to arrive too. So we got home at about 3 o'clock this morning.
Just a regular night's work for you guys, right?
Yeah, a regular night.
What's beautiful, we flew Robin King from Wisconsin over to spend this weekend with us. And he was there last night till 3 o'clock too. And he's 71 years old. And then he's going to spend some time with his brother, who's very, very ill, may not be with us much longer. And Kathy Hughes flew in from Colorado. Don Indica and Linda Radke flew in to be with us this weekend from Two Rivers, Wisconsin. So we've got a lot of visitors from all over the USA right now. And today we're getting ready to drive down to San Diego for a big festival on the street. So it's been a really awesome weekend. And, I'm suffering from a flu, but managing to get through all of this too.
Oh dear.
Is a good
and is Antoinette with you, Pato?
Hey, Crystalyn. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Antoinette.
Hi, Paula.
So good to have you on.
Is Paula here too?
Yes, this is
Paula. Paula is on, yes.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Pato. So just to catch you guys up, Ben just gave us a wonderful introduction to the U-Day Festival. Mm-hmm. And the philosophy behind it, and a little bit of what's going to take place. So, and I want to reiterate to our listeners that we are talking with Ben Bowler and Pato Banton. Pato is an international reggae star, and Ben is responsible for tremendous interfaith projects going on that help people become culturally immersed in the faith experience of another person. So these two men, and Antoinette as well, are working toward real unity, true unity and understanding. And as we know from the last few weeks and the guests we've had on, it's no easy task. We live in a complex world. The internet has made the world flat, and now we're all in a sense in each other's face. And so we have to deal with our cultural differences and our perspectives. And we have to we simply have to, as a world, in my point of view, we simply have to develop a global viewpoint and find the unity that brings us all together, the place where we unite, the place where we have true common ground. So I salute you both for your effort, for your work, and I know Andre and Crystalyn do too. So I'm going to turn it over to them as well, and I know they probably have lots of questions to ask you both.
Okay. Well, I'd like to start out by just saying thank you for calling in this morning, Ben, especially because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Ben's time in Australia. So he really had to wake up in the middle of the night to be on the program with us. So thank you so much for your extra effort. You're going the extra mile, Ben.
Oh, I always get up at this time.
You're being kind.
Indeed.
No, it's great. Anyway, it's very exciting. I just quickly let me say, being an observer, and I haven't always, obviously, of course, been able to dial into this show, but I see, follow what you're doing through Facebook largely, and it's amazing, and of course your incredible coup to get Brian McLaren on last week. What an amazing and awesome effort, and I applaud all of you for what you're doing, and we're really thrilled to be on the show.
Well, thank you, and Crystalyn gets all the credit for getting Brian. It's her tenacity and her persistence. So, kudos
to
you, my
dear.
What a
wonderful show, too.
Yeah, it was
really wonderful having him on, and we had our largest ever group of listeners this last week, and we're excited about the possibilities for getting some more really interesting luminaries on the show. We have Steve McIntosh coming on next week, who's at the Sorbonne in Paris this weekend presenting his new book, The Purpose of Evolution. So he'll be with us next weekend. But getting back to your show or your event, just would love to hear a little bit about the origin of this idea. Maybe you can share with our listeners what helped you to come up with this idea. I know you've been delving into expanding the Monk for a Month program into other religions and other cultures. What took you from that to the idea of a worldwide day of celebration, of unity?
We had, I mean, this is going back a few years, and thanks for the question, Chrislyn. When we were in Thailand, we first were volunteering for a year, and we were over there doing work with Free Schools, which is actually an NGO set up by your Answer Book readers. Sue Tennant has done a lot to foster free schools, and Mark Bloomfield was involved in the beginning. So we went over there for a year and got involved in the work there, and it's such an incredible cultural melting pot up in the north of Thailand. And we got engaged, particularly through my wife's interest with the Burmese story and the situation. So we went for a year and stayed for five. And during that period, we started our own organization, or our own NGO, which we called Blood Foundation. And the name was based on the concept of the human family, because we're in a cross-cultural, cross-religious environments with, you know, Buddhists and Christians and people of no religion and animists and all sorts of things. We wanted to be able to do projects that would unite while at the same time doing development work and relief work. So I guess back then I was thinking, you know, philosophically about how to bring people together, and realizing again, and I don't want to beat up on John Lennon's song because it's a great song, but realizing that that Imagine that I'm talking about, that sort of the ideal of one world through the lens of secular humanism was never going to be powerful enough to really bring people together. The fact that we're one race and we share one planet is a fact, but it's not a deep enough truth in my ponderings that actually bring people together. And understanding that to achieve real unity, it's not enough just to look at common ground between different perspectives, but to achieve real unity, you've got to go up. So you can't just look at where things overlap. It's not enough. To really get to that place where we're truly united is to go up. And we understand, as your Answer Book readers, that the brotherhood of man, which is what Blood Foundation was really promoting, is founded on the fatherhood of God. So I was aware when we were naming and launching Blood Foundation that it wasn't a big enough concept to really to be a real driver for unity. But at the same time, we didn't want it to be like a very religious sounding organization. And as we were just talking about before, as soon as you bring God into so many different conversations, you often causes more disunity than unity. So I think that the opportunity with the main calendar ending and the dates, and I've always, you know, had a feeling that it was significant in some way without really understanding why, was to use that date to do something more profound, perhaps, than just talking about the brotherhood of man, and to do something which was driving and promoting and anchoring in a higher spiritual unity, which is not, as I said, not just the common ground we share, but that something deeper, something higher that we need to really get into if we're going to experience true unity. We have to go beyond ourselves. And I think that was the sort of philosophy of wanting to do something profoundly uniting with U-Day. And it was a few years ago now, so I can't remember exactly how the U came about or really how the concept sort of grew or evolved back then. But it was happening that we had set the date and we had launched the sort of project online, and we were getting we were getting people interested in it. But it wasn't until probably about 4 or 5 months ago that I was back in Chiang Mai, and I met another fellow who was a contact here, Antoinette Zampato, which is a guy called Ira Renard, and he's the lead singer, as I was saying, of the Easy Star All-Stars. And I caught up with him. He was in Chiang Mai. He's sort of doing a little bit of work over there and looking at relocating. And he picked up the idea and absolutely ran with it. And he's got a whole group of people behind him called the Until That Day Movement. I'm trying to get him to call in, actually. So it looks like he's landed and his train is pulled into New York. So connecting with Ira about 6 months ago, and then, or not even that long, actually. It was probably only about 3-4 months ago. And the whole thing, which had been meandering a little bit until then, guys. So there was an idea. It was out there, but you know, our personal situation was changing. We had to move from Thailand back to Australia for family reasons. And I wasn't even sure that anything was actually going to happen for you, though. And then I had this meeting with Gary and his fiance in Chiang Mai. And they brought such new energy and fresh perspective and new inspiration. So then it was back on. And prior to that, I had asked Pato, actually it was a post, I think, Pato, at the end of last year, you put up a post saying that you were hanging up your microphone. And I think you're looking to end about December. And I asked Pato if you would do one more gig. And Pato very graciously said yes. So, and as soon as then after the discussion with Ira in Chiang Mai, it looked to be back on. I contacted Pato and Antoinette again, and they were still keen. And so that's how it's all started to fall into place and be brought into place now. So, yeah, it's sort of one of those things, I think, and what happens often is you start these projects and for every 10 ideas, 2 or 3 of them actually come to fruition. And, I'm really grateful that this is one that is coming to fruition. There's still a lot for us to organize. We have a small team on the ground in Chiang Mai, and still a long way to go and a heap of stuff to do, but I'm sure it's going to be a really blessed event. And even though it's not going to be like a huge kind of publicity thing, it's going to be very... what we're lacking size will hopefully make up in meaning, and the connections that are made there, we hope are going to have all sorts of unknowable, unforeseeable consequences in a good way.
Indeed. You know, all we need to do frequently is get started on a project for it to have wings or have legs and really take off. We never know who will be drawn into it, into participating or helping with it.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing how things can build once they get started.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are both going to be in. Go ahead, Andre.
Well, I'm just curious, Ben. I understand your connection with Thailand, and I'm just contrasting in my own mind, well, okay, here's an event. It's a World Unity event. It could, by all rights, it could happen, you know, in the L.A. Basin. It could be happening in Australia close to where you are. It could be happening, you know, out by Alice Springs and turn it into a, a Burning Man type thing. Or, I'm being a little facetious here, but you've chosen Chiang Mai. You've got history in Chiang Mai. So what specifically are you envisioning happening there in that part of Thailand, in that part of Asia, that might not be able to happen anywhere else?
It's a great question, Andre. And look, I mean, 3 years ago when we launched it, you dream big. We thought it was going to happen everywhere. We thought it was going to happen simultaneously in cities all over the place. So in the end, it's just reality, I guess, kind of kicked in and realized that if we're going to do it, we're probably just going to pull it off in one city at a time. So Chiang Mai, I think, is, as it turns out, it's a really interesting place. There's a lot of expats living there. It's, I guess, kind of off the map a little bit, but it is, I think it's probably a city of about 200,000, 300,000 people. And it's up in the north of Thailand. It's in a part of Asia where really China is coming down and connecting with Southeast Asia. It's just got a real international feel to it. It's also got a great music scene as well, as it happens. Surprisingly, quite a strong reggae scene specifically. But it wasn't necessarily something, Andre, through a lot of thinking that we arrived there. It was more kind of just the circumstances. As I said, when we first launched U-Day, we thought we'd get Bono and all the rest of the world kind of superstars, and we were, it was just a fantasy. And in the end, the reality is you do what you can, and Chiang Mai is something that we have the pieces in place, and we can do it there. More not so much by design necessarily as just by evolution.
Sounds interesting. I understand what you mean by that international flavor and attraction. Just 2 degrees of separation or one. My brother, John, went there probably about a year ago or so to learn Reiki and to get involved practicing some Vipassana meditation with some people there. So it is a small world. And for all I know, my other brother has been through there too. I don't know. I know he's been to some parts of Thailand. But that particular area is kind of, would it be fair to say, I don't know if you're familiar with Boulder, Colorado, or Ojai, California. Does it have that kind of feel? It's got that eclectic kind of drawing power?
I've never been to I'd love to go to Boulder one day. It's definitely got that spiritual flavor to it, Andre. There's a lot of people doing yoga and a lot of people doing meditation. And there's also a lot of Christian organizations there, which balances out that, which balances out that kind of flavor, spirituality. And so then the Christian organizations there, many of them are doing development work for the Hill Tribe or the Burmese refugees. So they've got a social mission. Perhaps there's also a lot of evangelical Christians there whose mission isn't necessarily social. But it's got a good mix, it's a spiritually, it's a rich and diverse and fascinating and beautiful place. It's in a lovely mountainous forest kind of surroundings, it's a really, really nice part of the world.
Can you deviate for just a second and share with our listeners a little bit about the Burmese issue?
Just to let you know that Ira is here. I don't know if he's hit one or not, but arrived in Chiang Mai and he's dialed in. So.
Okay, is his area code 504, Ben?
I wouldn't know.
Do you know? Okay.
He's from Australia, so.
We do have a caller. I'll put him on just to make sure. Hello, area code 504. You're with us on the Cosmic Citizen.
Greetings, Cosmic Citizen. It's so part. So glad to be part of this cosmic conversation.
Right. Good to have you.
Is this Ray?
Is this
Ray?
Hi, Ray. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Great.
Welcome to Cosmic Citizen.
Welcome.
All right, your train came in, brother. It's good to hear. I was telling these guys before about our meeting in Chiang Mai and how it really was a significant moment in this project's history and the whole connection with the Until That Day movement. So wonderful that you could join us.
Well, the universe has me here, so it's meant to be.
You want to tell us a little bit about how you got interested in this and what motivated you to get involved?
Well, the motivation was there just because of the passion that I have for music, for one. I'm a reggae musician. I'm a Rastafarian, so it's always been rooted and grounded in, spirituality. But as time passed, you grow, you evolve, you become more aware of that you're not the only one here. There are more people here that have different views also, and you have to see the common denominator. So I'm glad to say that, through the music, through reggae, and through Rastafari, I was able to see that common thread through all faiths. And, to be, part of such a, divine fabric you know, representing Rastafari to show that, you know, it is one and the same with all the other, you know, faiths and ideologies, then, you know, it feels as if, I feel as if that's the universe. It has nothing to do with what I planned, because I had no idea that I would be involved with something beyond, you know, Rastafari. But this is beyond Rastafari. This is cosmic. So, you know, that's where it takes over. And I just like being here at this meeting. I never imagined I would make it, but I'm here. And it's crazy, but I have the same room number that I just checked out of when I was in Chicago. So I checked out of 331 and I checked into 331. So I look at that as like, and that's number 7. So I see that as a divine sign.
That's good for you.
So this is happening in Thailand. And Pato, are you are actually flying to Thailand, you and the band, for the concert the night of December the 22nd?
Actually, me and Antoinette, it's only me and Antoinette flying out there.
Okay.
Rasaire will be putting a band together for us that we will rehearse. We're going to get out there actually a week before, so that we can rehearse with the band and familiarize ourselves with the surroundings and the people there.
What a wonderful gift to be able to speak the language of music wherever you go in the world.
Yeah,
that you can just hook up a band and practice together for maybe even just a few days, and to be able to play together and create beautiful music. It's a pretty cool thing.
Universal language, too.
Indeed.
It really is.
So, you guys, how can we get involved? I mean, I obviously can't fly to Thailand, and I would love to fly to, I mean, I would love to go to Thailand. Everything I've ever heard about it is that it's magical and beautiful. And I know that I would love the Thai people and being in Thailand, but I can't. So, but I'd still like to get involved. So how can I do that?
I think one of the greatest things about this event is that it's a global event. And the event is going to be broadcast with a live webcast. So put your arms around the world and put your arms around, you know, the world is happening, that you can do it worldwide at the same time, simultaneously, with everybody in every different city and every part of the world can sit there and just kind of tune in and just kind of tune into the higher vibrations. You know, so it's a webcast event that they can promote it. It's one of the event page that we have on the Facebook is that anybody who wants to join, they are all going to be able to participate in the event, even if they can't fly out to Thailand.
Great. And it'll be streamed live then, like, say, on YouTube or at a certain website?
Yes, Ben will be taking care of that.
This is a great big faith adventure for all of us, and there's a lot to sort out. Definitely we're going to be live streaming it through the website, through Facebook, but we've got a lot of things to sort out. One way people can get involved if they want to get involved, we're a team of volunteers that are working towards this. We've got some big ticket items we still need to sort out. This is clearly a non-profit event, but we still need to get sound systems. We still need to get stage and lighting and all that sort of stuff. Fortunately, because it's in Thailand, it's not going to cost the national debt or the national budget. But we are looking for sponsorship, Paula. So if there's anybody listening who may want to be involved or may want to support this, we invite you to. We could really use your help. So we're looking for people to come on and partner us, whether they're individuals giving just a little bit of money or whether they're maybe organizations who want to give a bit more. But certainly as a non-profit event, pulling this all together with a team of volunteers spread out over the world, it's not without its challenges. So any support, the opportunity is there for people if they want to get involved at that level. And if they want to, they can contact me through bloodfoundation.org or through worldweavers.com.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely, certainly we want to be able to share this experience with people around the world as we do it. The idea has become, going back to the original thing, this is so often how things happen. We have our own personal idea of how things work out, I think it was going back to John Lennon, a bit of a theme here. I think he was the one who said, life is what happens when you're making other plans. But, you know, the universe of God has other ideas. But what we want to do is we actually want to do this every year and add a new city to it every year. So what that means is we'll do it in Chiang Mai this year, and then next year we're shaping up to do it in Istanbul. But we want to do it, we want to add a new city every year so that it's still going to have an event happen in Chiang Mai, let's say in 2013, but it will be a smaller event, it will be a more local event. And then the new city that we add will be the main focus. And then every time we add a city, that it has a legacy and that something will continue to happen there every year day. Which will obviously be towards the end of each calendar year. So we're hoping to be able to add more cities that we go along, and Crystal and I were even talking about Boulder at one stage would be a great host city. So it's interesting that you brought that up, Andre. But, you know, that would be the dream, is if we can make it successful, would be to add a city every year and continue to do this and expand it and obviously get on every continent within 4 or 5 years and then add to it as we go. And you guys have nailed it with the power of music, and the power of music to unite and inspire is absolutely unique. And so you go back to the late 80s and early 90s, and you have the Band-Aid sort of phenomenon, which was such an incredible moment in the world. And you know, it seems to be that there's an opportunity to do something like this and build it up. And obviously, we're going to need a lot more organization if we're going to pull something like that off. But that's the vision and that's the hope.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about the international peace movement in and of itself. You know, like some of your long-term missions or your long-term goals for creating intercultural unity and intercultural immersion, you know, getting people to actually meet together face to face and become friends. That is something that we know from our influence from the Ranch book that is really an important thing to get started if we want to eventually move towards a unified world.
Mm.
We talked a little bit about a quote, a favorite of Andre's, one that he shared recently, about the kinds of things that promote cross-fertilization and promote unity on a worldwide basis. But would you like to talk to that idea a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can certainly give you my kind of thoughts on that, and then maybe hand over to Pato and Antoinette to give theirs as well, because that would I'd be very interested to hear their insights too. Certainly, the quote you're looking for there is a really interesting one. Paper 52, I think it is, talking about social fraternity and intellectual cross-fertilization, ethical awakening, political wisdom, spiritual insight, as being things that are required to really get us from where we are to where we want to be going as a planet. And social fraternity, it says, multiplication of international and interracial social contacts and fraternal associations through travel, commerce, and competitive play, development of a common language and the multiplication of multilinguists, and so on. It goes into the whole thing. I mean, what a great opportunity to be doing work like this in our particular age with the jet age and the internet and the possibilities that they afford. This is a very ripe idea. Crystal and I had a great chat during the week in the lead up to this show, and we're talking about, you know, just how many ideas and inspirations. I mean, it's pretty much limitless what's in your answer book. But it seems upon reflection that some ideas are ripe for our time and some less so, some perhaps less so. But this idea of creating unity and the bonds of unity and the framework of unity through helping to build a bigger framework for people to think in, and also to come to know and understand each culture and religion better. The opportunity to do that is incredibly ripe right now. And, you know, that's the sort of work that we've been doing with World Weavers for the last few years, letting people experience other cultures and faiths from the inside. And we're very fortunate to have wonderful partner organizations that offer those experiences. But certainly this is an idea whose time is now. And the whole idea, just before I want to hand over to Pato and Antoinette, just it's really interesting having been connected to the interfaith movement. Paula, I met you at the Parliament of World Religions back in 2009 in Melbourne. And, you know, that's such a cornerstone of the interfaith movement. But what tends to happen when groups come together for interfaith dialogue or for these kinds of events is it's always happening on someone's – it's got to happen on someone's framework. So if it's a Muslim-led initiative, then, for example, just to use an example, if it's coming from the Gulen movement out of Turkey, as brilliant as it is, it's always within a certain framework. It has to be. And as an example – and I'm not picking on any religion here, but as an example, it's easier for the Muslim viewpoint to fit Christians and Jews into their framework than it is Sikhs and Baha'is, because they have in the Quran they have room for it, whereas for religions coming after that it's more difficult. So it's always interesting when you have a unity event or an interfaith event to be looking at who's the host, who's bringing this together, and what is ultimately the framework that they're working within. This is why you won't find too many evangelical Christian groups involved in interfaith dialogue, because their framework doesn't really allow it. So obviously coming from a Urantia book-inspired perspective, it gives us, you know, and I think anyone who's read the Urantia book, one of the universal things they will say is that it's enlarged our frameworks of thinking. So although we're still coming from a particular framework, at least it's something that is large enough to accommodate all the world's religions. And I think that's kind of what makes it special. That's why it's great to have Pato and Antoinette involved. It's why it's great to have you guys, you know, interested in the project, because it really is coming from that UB-inspired mega story that we're able to accommodate and sit all the cultures and faiths at the one table, and that's the work I think that inspires me the most.
Well, that is truly inspiring, and. You know, any time I think Lou on the board right now is posting some wonderful quotes from the Urantia book, talking about, and we all know how the book says, this is how we will find international peace, through exchange of students, teachers, industrialists, and religious philosophers. You know, it's only through education and understanding, and the book reiterates over and over and over again that the way to love your fellows is to know them. And to know them, you must take the time. It takes time to get to know somebody. It takes effort to get to know somebody. And it gives us two specifics, to know their motives and sentiments. You know, these are not things that can be known in an instant or in a snap. You have to spend some time with somebody in discourse, engaged, on a level of intimacy, almost. And by that I mean really caring what they think and what they know and what their experience is. Ben, you engage in interfaith immersion. Immersion means that I'm going to have a significant experience of that faith. I'm not just going to hear about it. I'm going to be in it. And we all know, and in my experience, I have found that every place I've gone and I believe that I have a love for humanity. I know I do. And I gave my life over to God when I almost died of cancer when I was 36. And I totally turned my agenda over to God, and I prayed to Jesus, and I told Jesus, you know, if you wanted me to be here for 10,000 years, I would stay for 10,000, because I believe that there are beings all over this universe who would love to have the opportunity I've been given. And I just want to serve you. And so, you know, I've gone, since I said that prayer and turned my agenda over to God and the Master, They have taken me places I never dreamed personally I would go, and I've been to almost every continent on Earth now. And even after that, I went and adopted a little baby in China, a little girl. And she's the light of my life. And what I have found is every place I've gone, I've absolutely fallen in love with the people of that place.
Yeah.
And that it just occurs to me that there's really no other way to know people than to meet them where they are. And Jesus, of course, proves that because he came to us from paradise and he descended all this way to meet us where we are and to be one of us. And there's just so much value in that. And I love the idea of having an event in multiple places and then connecting all of those events, just because logistically it's hard for everybody to gather in one place in the world. I mean, even the Parliament is a very difficult undertaking, and they only do it once every 5 years because it's so difficult logistically. So, you know, I really do appreciate that we might be able to all have a small version of this and then connect up all the dots at some point. I love that idea. That's a great idea.
What city are you in, Paul?
I live halfway between Denver and Boulder.
Okay.
But
okay, cool.
I grew up in this, in pretty close to here in Southwest Denver. So.
Well, I mean, if people in Boulder or wherever wanted to come together on that day and do some prayer and meditation and join us in spirit, then that would be very much in line with what this is about. I was going to ask Pato and Antoinette to speak to that, what we're talking about there in your answer book, and also Pato, what are the challenges to a more unified world, do you think, in your experience?
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Pato.
Hi, Pato.
Hi, Andre. I didn't realize you were there too. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, too. It's nice to hear you and Antoinette. Good to hear you guys.
I think the first thing I want to say is that I know I am a recording artist, an international artist, but I need to really let everybody know that what has been happening over the past few years is that actually my role as a minister has really outweighed and overridden my role as a performing artist. And we spend about one third of our time involved in music and two thirds involved in ministry now. And both myself and Antoinette are now ordained ministers. We actually created a group called Ministers for Christ Michael.
Mm.
And there are 50 of us now involved. We have 50 ordained ministers around the world now for Christ Michael. And it's growing weekly. It's growing. I also wanted to say that Antoinette really is one of the main driving forces behind all the ministry I'm doing, and she's much more concerned with ministry than our musical ventures. That's where her passion lies, and with the outreach, you know, to our community of new Urantia readers. We have about 100 new readers now in Los Angeles who are closely related to us and in constant contact with us. And we've also started a Sunday worship at our home where people come to. And we have 3 studies a week of the Urantia book. We have a beginner study. We have a study of the Jesus Papers, and we have an advanced study of the advanced teaching. And then we have people gather with us every Sunday for praise and worship. So we really are doing a lot more ministry now than music. You know, music is really the vehicle that we use. But on the subject of vision and why it's very easy for us to do interfaith work is because from what we've learned from the Urantia book, Jesus has asked us to be religionists without a religion. You know, Jesus was a religionist without a religion. His early followers, when he took them out of the Jewish traditions, his early followers where religion is without an institutional religion. And from what we can see in the Urantia book, that is the call of the followers of Jesus in this time, to continue to spread the good news across the world without having a bias or having any prejudice by being a member of any so-called religion. So being involved with interfaith is very easy for us because we really maintain a neutral position, and we appreciate that every religion is beneficial to the religionists that belong to that religion, and that all roads lead to the Urantia world and paradise. The way that we contribute towards, I'll let Antoinette expand on this as soon as I finish this sentence, but the way we expand on bringing people of different faiths together is that when we play a concert, the only thing that the people at our concert have in common is their love of reggae music or their love of Pato Bantan. And they come from all kinds of walks of life. You know, we have Buddhist fans, Muslim fans, Rasta fans, Christian fans, atheist fans, you know, you name it. They come to the show, and their common denominator is music. And then when we invite them, when we start talking on stage about the good news and about all being God's children, brothers and sisters, it's amazing how everyone responds in a unified way and with excitement to actually embrace that idea and look around the room and start hugging each other, you know, and hugging strangers and celebrating that they're all one family. And then what we do after the show is we invite people to a prayer circle, and then we'll have a prayer circle, and sometimes the prayer circles are small and sometimes they're so huge we have to have prayer circles within the prayer circles, and sometimes they end up being three circles. And it's amazing when you get some of the Buddhists chanting and the Muslims praying in their own language and the Rastas, you know, hailing Rastafari, and the Christian praying to Jesus, and the atheist saying, wow, you believe in God now, you know? And it's just a really beautiful thing. And what we most is that don't let this be the end of our relationship. Let's continue to be friends. Let's continue to be family and maintain communication. And so sometimes when we have studies, we have Jews who are wanting to know, what is it? You know, we have different religious people asking us, what is it? What is it that you're doing that enables us to be able to live together in harmony and love each other and appreciate each other? And they're looking for more truth now, because nearly all the religions promote that if you're not in their religion, you're going to go to hell. So a lot of religionists within these religions, they believe most of their religion, but they don't believe all of it. And when they hear the good news that we're all God's children, brothers and sisters, it's very hard for them to embrace the information that if people don't believe what they believe, they're damned to hell. And so when they start looking for new answers, many times they start becoming religionists without a religion. And rather than trying to convert them to anything, we just embrace them and promote their spiritual growth. And if they are really, if they really are inquisitive and have deep questions, that's when we really introduce them to the Urantia book. But Antoinette's got a couple quotes there from the book, and she can expand on what we do right now, but I'm going to pass you over to Antoinette.
Cool.
Thanks, Pato.
Thank you, Paul. One of the things that I actually met Pato 20 years ago by being in an opening band. We're both reggae artists, but one of the loves that each actually brought me to the music was Bob Marley's music of the One God, One Aim, One Destiny philosophy. And even though I was into rock music and classical and jazz and things, it was really reggae music that you can go anywhere in the world, that you can have a peaceful atmosphere and a peaceful attitude without belonging to a religion where people can sit there and actually hold hands and hug and just love each other just based on that kind of mutual feeling and respect. So even if they're not speaking English, they've already kind of feeling that kind of attitude and vibe already. So the one God, one aim philosophy, people can actually unite together, whether they are Buddhist or Muslim or Jewish or any type of faith that you can actually think of. They can actually, instead of, and grip together in unity. Yeah, when I found the Urantia book, one of the papers, which I actually thought was something that came straight from Bob Marley or straight from Selassie, was paper 134 with the transition years and just at the Urmia lectures. And one of the things said was religious teachers must always remember that the spiritual sovereignty of God overrides all intervening and intermediate spiritual loyalties. Someday civil rulers will learn that the Most High is ruling the kingdoms of men. That's something that we're really trying to achieve right now is with the folks, you know, to understand, let's just put everything else down and just recognize that we all do believe in one God and that we all do have one destiny, and that's something that we can agree on and not sit there and point out or figure out all the things that we do disagree on. When they also talk about there can be no lasting religious peace on Urantia until all religious groups freely surrender all their notions of divine favor, chosen people, and religious sovereignty. Only when God the Father becomes supreme will men become religious brothers and live together in religious peace on earth. And that's just such a beautiful statement right there, because that's almost saying you're going to have to give up something. If we want to gain anything, we've got to give up something in order to gain that. And what we're trying to gain is that brotherhood of man, fatherhood of God, fellowship, friendship, unity, not uniformity, all these different aspects. So I know that because I've seen it, because I'm a witness after the shows and the prayer circles when people are walking away and they're saying, I can't believe I just prayed with a Muslim. I can't believe I was praying with a Jewish person. I can't believe I was holding hands with them and we were all praying. And that was the biggest thing they were talking about. I mean, they loved the show, but that was the biggest thing that they were talking about, that they just actually, and they come back. That's what they asked for. They want to have that freedom in able to practice their spirituality and have that freedom and have that love. And it's just, it's an amazing thing. So if we can do that on a small scale, we can also do that on a global scale, you know. We can sit there and just really reach and put our arms around the world and have one gigantic prayer circle, you know, from Thailand, just reaching and stretching all across, you know, with that the same philosophy, you know, one God, one aim.
Well, and I think the more we have events like this happening where people do come together and they can eat together, you know, break bread together, listen, sing, dance to music together, and then share in some original, unique, new types of worship rituals together. I think this concept would really spread, because we hear, for example, in the emergent movement within Christianity and some of the young ministers within the Christian emergent movement talking about, you know, that spirituality alone is not enough. They still feel the need for religion, some form of religious identity or religious practice. That the challenge with the just saying I'm spiritual, not religious, concept is that there really isn't anything to do or to any action to take or anything to participate in that unifies them as a part of some type of fellowship of religionists. And, you know, different people speak differently to that. You know, for some people, more traditional ritual or liturgy or participation in something more traditional is really welcome. For others, they really want something more open and inclusive. But almost across the board, people are feeling that there's something wrong with this concept of only my church or only my mosque or only my religious group has the favor of God. You know, as we grow and expand our cultural identity to be more inclusive, we can hardly continue to accept a religion that teaches that as a primary principle.
Yeah.
So having something that people can participate in like this, I think, is certainly very appealing to young people.
Exactly.
Don't you think?
Was that Irie trying to make a comment there?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm tuned in.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a question in a little bit, Irie, but I think that's... there's a couple of things there going. I mean, I think it's tremendous, tremendous work what Pato and Antoinette are doing, and just seeing it through the means of communication we have, it is something that I think is really, really powerful. There's a whole notion of experience. The question of people leaving institutional religions and what forms of religious life are going to replace the old forms. I mean, that's a huge, huge issue. I'm not sure we can, that's a really difficult one just to, I think it's going to take decades or centuries for that to unravel. One thing about the institutional churches that have traditionally gotten power by their claim to exclusivity is that they're not going to give that up easily. Your answer book talks about the evolution of the state and the nation state and then to the international, and it mentions that the preceding level always resists the next expansion of political sovereignty. And of course it's the same with spiritual as well, even though the church is often very political too, but the days are numbered of the ideology that my way is the only way. That those days are very, very numbered on this planet, but like a cornered animal, institutional religion is not going to give up without a fight. And I've been guilty as anyone of trying to, as we learn and as we grow and develop slowly our methods and our wisdom, of trying to achieve what Pato and Antoinette are achieving now, trying to do it through logic and reason, and it just doesn't. It's not effective. So by looking at music and by looking at experience as a technique that supersedes reason and logic and debate, because it takes people right to the very, very heart of the matter, and it bypasses all the intellectual conceptions and preconceptions, and it just gets to the real stuff, which is beyond words. I think that's really the technique. And it's that technique of personal experience, personal living, spiritual experience. And that's what I think is so tremendous about what Pato and Antoinette are doing. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how that unfolds in the context in Thailand. And if you're going to take a world religion, that would be the most challenging and the most difficult to translate that kind of exercise into, it would be Theravada Buddhism. Most people are familiar with the Dalai Lama's kind of Buddhism, and he talks about God and he talks about stuff. They have space for that, but in Theravada Buddhism, it's a lot more challenging. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this translates in Thailand. And very much looking forward to it. And we're also very, very excited to have Brother Irie come. And he's a big music star in his own right, and incredibly. I had the privilege of sitting down and connecting with him a few months ago, as I was saying, which has been a pivotal moment in the U-Day evolution, and really, really someone who's also walking their faith and living by their spiritual compass, and that's inspiring to see. So Brother Irie, we were talking before just about the ideals that unite us, And I'd love to hear, you know, give you the chance to talk about what drives you and what your drive is in this world.
Oh, it's just acceptance. You know, that's it.
Mm.
You know, acceptance. I mean, until that day, it's almost becoming like amen, you know, after a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I hear all of you talking, and all that I can say is until that day. Then I hear the next person talk, and all I can say is until that day. Then I hear the next person talk, and all I can say is until that day. So it becomes like until that day is not a group. It's just the manifestation of what everybody is talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
See? So I'm not trying to create a group here. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just seeing what everyone is trying to do. And all of a sudden, when I read His Majesty and I heard Haile Selassie say until that day, it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. So it's like not trying to reinvent the wheel, but just letting the wheel roll. It's already been
For the benefit of our hosts and our listeners, can you give us the paragraph that Haile Selassie read to the United Nations in 1963, right?
1963, October the 6th. It just passed by and it went by unnoticed. It's so sad that that day passes by every year and no one pays attention to it. That, you know.
Can you just recite that for us? Because we as your ancient book readers, we recognize, as Antoinette said before, in what she was reading out, we recognize those ideals and that vision really deeply. Can you read out what Haile Selassie said to the United Nations on October 6th, 1963?
Yes, I can. I mean, it's my mantra. So it says, until the philosophy that holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, that until they are no longer first-class and second-class citizens of any nation, that until the color of a man's skin is no more significant than the color of his eyes, that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, that until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, and the rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion, but never attained. So that's like to me an ultimatum, where either you're going to accept these four untils and apply them, or you're never going to have peace. And like I tell everyone so far, no one has proven him wrong. See, because the ultimatum still stands, and there's been many peace conferences, there's many groups that have risen and fell, but yet those four untils still stand. It's like it's documented at the UN. Truth being spoke to power, to the body that represents the world, the United Nations. So I'm saying that if Christ was to come and speak to the nations, that would be the perfect institution to stand in front of and speak to, because they represent the world. That's the heads of the world. That's the kings of the earth. So I feel that if that's a significant date to always keep people reminded of, because most people don't even know that this exists. They don't even know it happened. So that's why I took it a point to make sure that I magnify until that day. Because it's not just a statement. You know, until that day, it's historical. It's a historical event. Until that day, it was started on a certain day by a historical figure. So that makes it factual. You know, because it's historical, it's factual. You can find facts to back up what until that day represents.
Mm-hmm.
Until that day is also prophetical, because it's written in the Bible, spoken by Christ in Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. He speaks of that day, and he says until that day. And what day he's referring to is the kingdom of God, paradise. Until that day, he made a vow saying that I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vow, fruit of the vine, until that day I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. So he was referring to the kingdom, which is the same thing Haile Selassie is referring to when he says lasting peace, world citizenship, and the rule of international morality. To me, that sounds like God's kingdom defined. You know?
It's a beautiful, beautiful vision, and it's something that I think the idea of world citizenship and lasting peace is something that is really kind of a goal that unites us all, doesn't it? And I think the point that I want to make, it's a really important one, is that people are going to draw on different inspirations, and in the move towards greater unity and greater harmony and really to overcome the inertia for us all to achieve that. You know, the vision that's been expressed in that statement and been expressed in the Urantia book and is expressed in the highest of religious thinking, people are always going to be drawing on different inspirations. And that's the power, isn't it? Because there's so many, if you can build something big enough that allows people to be in the same place that are drawing on a variety of inspirations that are driving to the same vision, a little bit like what Antoinette was saying, with one goal, one God, one aim. I think that's the challenge for us, to try and build something that's big enough, that's gracious enough, that's humble enough to really get everyone, you know, moving in the same direction. That's the challenge. And
you know, I have to interject here that Ira, that what you just said and Ben too reminds me of one of my greatest heroes in life, Dr. Martin Luther King, as an idealistic 13-year-old who read on a church sign passing by, "He who loves God also loves him who God loves." And in that day of racial, tremendous racial tension, he was one of my greatest heroes. And when he was assassinated, it was probably one of the darkest days of my life. And what he said was, "I have a dream," essentially in that day. "I have a dream that someday we'll live up to these truths we hold to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that, you know, someday my four children will live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character." And he ended that by saying, and when this happens, when we all allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." And that is a dream worth holding and worth sharing and worth working and worth spending your life to create. That is a dream that, you know, I think we all realize. The great disillusionment for me at 13 was they kill the greatest men this world has ever known. I don't even know who they are, you know. But and I do know, you know, some 50 years later, I do know. I do kind of have a grasp on that conspiracy that wants to kill truth in the world. But I would say to all of you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for every effort you give to build that dream, that we all give to build that dream. And it's not easy, as Ben pointed out. People don't let go of their offense easily, or their creed, or their caste, or the thing that makes them feel special on earth. And of course, we had Brian's whole book is about this, you know. And how can we overcome this? How can Christians overcome it? How can Muslims overcome it? He's speaking from a Christian point of view because he's Christian, but how do we all overcome this as a world? Certainly by getting to know each other. And I want to share one more thing, and this is a quote from Paper 99, which is, of course, we know, beautiful. Those papers on religion are just exquisite. It says simply this: just as certainly as men share their religious beliefs, they create a religious group of some sort which eventually creates common goals. Someday religionists will get together and actually affect cooperation on the basis of unity of ideals and purposes, rather than attempting to do so on the basis of psychological opinions and theological beliefs. Goals, rather than creeds, should unify religionists. Since true religion is a matter of personal spiritual experience, it is inevitable that each individual religionist must have his own and personal interpretation of the realization of that spiritual experience. Let the term faith stand for the individual's relation to God rather than for the creedal formulation of what some group of mortals have been able to agree upon as a common religious attitude. Have you faith? Then have it to yourself.
One thing I can say to that is, until that day.
Until that day. Thanks,
it applies to everything. It's a mantra. I mean, no matter what we say, you got to stop and say, until that day.
Until
we're
that
not there
day.
Yet. We're not there
and
yet.
And someday we'll be able to say, as Martin Luther King said, free at last, free at last.
Free at last.
And we'll sing it together.
Until that day.
Until that day, yes.
I think that there's, I think, and I love it. I love the work that Ira is doing and the vision that he's got, and I really, really love it. And I think that, you know, there is, we know that there is a day in the future that you know, and I remember when they remade the Star Wars movies, and they went back and re-digitally edited everything, and, you know, the end of the third movie, which is kind of really the end of all of the movies, they, you know, when after the Emperor died, and then they had this sort of celebration which goes on around the universe, this amazing moment where the saga was over and they're celebrated here, there, and everywhere. But, and we know that there's a day in the future of this planet where that day of victory occurs. And I think that it's so powerful, that it's so present, that it actually reaches back in time and we feel the reverberations of it. And I think that all the eschatological events and people's dreaming and hoping and aspirations and the sort of people wanting to believe they live in the last days, it's all a response to this future reality where there is that day when peace has come to the planet and the Most High is visibly ruling the kingdoms of men, and that whether it's the return of the Creator Son or whether it's whatever advent it might be, there is a day when it all comes together. And I think that in our own way, celebrating that and is a way of stepping closer towards it. Even though this planet isn't ripe, it's far from ripe for that kind of, you know, we're a long way away from it, as Brother Ira just said. But everything we do, if we're doing it with the value of what brings us closer to that day, then that's a guiding light. It's a lodestar for us all to follow, and it's also that thing which is powerful enough and strong enough to be the common goal across all divides and cultures and beliefs and creeds. That dream of Martin Luther King, which you so beautifully read, and such a powerful speech. You know, this is I think your answer book says it's the dream of all the good men of all the ages, good men and women of all the ages. So. And so it's that future vision of unity and peace and enlightenment and truth. And it is something so powerful that we feel it in our hearts and we're trying to get closer to it. And I think everyone in this discussion is a part of that and feels that.
I agree.
And we're
can I do the same thing?
Yeah.
Can I interject?
Of course.
I just wanted to interject here and say... you know, regarding Ras Ira's affirmation, I don't think that affirmation will ever end. I think until that day will be something that we will be saying eternally. Because
hey, Pato, not to cut you off. Hey, Pato, but see, before I can finish, Ben cut me off. and I was going to say that. Because I was going to say that till that day is first historical, so that makes it factual. It's prophetical because Christ said it, so that makes it spiritual. It's eternal because it is eternal, so that makes it mystical. So, see, that's what I was about to say. And it's a threefold thing. It's historical, it's spiritual, and it's mystical because it's eternal. There is no end. There is no end. So I know what you're saying, Pato, but if I would have had the chance to finish explaining, then you wouldn't have had to expound on that.
Well, and you still can.
Our technology on this is not always perfect. Unfortunately, it drops calls. The more people we have on the air, it seems the more likely we are to drop calls. So we apologize for that, but the technology at Blog Talk is not always perfect.
Who's speaking now?
Crystal.
Oh, that was Crystalline. So, Pato, please do expound on that concept, because I think there is something else to be said about it as well.
Yes. I was going to say that on a personal level, we are told that when we stop growing, we die. You know, that growth is something that is an eternal project for us. You know, we will never cease growing. No matter where we are in the universe, just like we can always add another number to any figure, you know, you can think of any figure, you know, any number in the universe, as you can make it as long as you want. You can always add a one to it. And it's the same thing with progress. No matter how much you progress eternally, you will always be able to make one more step forward in progress. And it's the same thing for a planet. Even when we do have one world religion, even when we do have, no racism, one race on the planet, even when we do achieve one language, even when we achieve world peace, there will always be another level of progress for the entire planet. And even when we achieve light and life, you know, there will be still more progress. We will still be looking for new challenges and saying until that day. Mm-hmm. So I really think that it is something that is eternal. We can set goals and celebrate the achievement of those goals. But once we reach those goals, we will be just as dissatisfied as we was before we reached that goal, because the next goals and the next level of values will be staring us in the face, saying, come and get me, come and get me.
Hey, Fatu, I don't think we'll be dissatisfied. I think we'll just be eager to get to those goals. I don't think there's no, dissatisfied, I don't think there's no kind of dissatisfying feeling on the path that we're on,
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we'll be full of joy, and we'll just welcome the challenge to reach the next goal.
Yeah. They say we never live up to our highest values, And for me, it's almost like a level of dissatisfaction for me personally, because when I can see in front of me what I can be, and then when I'm coping with who I currently am and what I need to do to reach to that next goal, Jesus said we must hunger for truth and thirst for righteousness. And when I'm hungry and thirsty, I'm one of the most miserable people on the planet. And nothing makes me feel more happy than a full belly and a nice drink. So when I get that righteousness and I get that truth and I'm driven and I'm striving to reach my goals, for me there is a little level of dissatisfaction. But when I look back, there's dissatisfaction when I look forward, even though I'm very happy, I'm very fulfilled. But when I look back at where I've come from, is where I find my joy,
I think that, even if, and we know perfection is attainable relatively, we will never be as perfect as God is perfect, but we can be as perfect in our sphere as He is in His. And even when we do get to that place, we know, at least we are told in the Urantia book, that it doesn't end. Nothing ends there. It's just one eternal adventure, and that there are greater levels of service to be achieved after that. So the point on for both of you guys is well taken, that, satisfaction. Well, I think the beautiful thing to me, one of the many things that the Urantia book did for me was tell me that, gee, you don't die and sit on a cloud forever and play a harp. There's lots to be done. And tremendous service and growth to be achieved, and an endless adventure, an endless voyage of discovery. And so even at that level, that apex for us, which will be to stand on the shores of paradise and look back over the long, long evolutionary career, we still are looking forward to eternal service and satisfaction and joy and all of the things, that the sense of adventure and curiosity is still there. These are the things that have pulled us on eternally, and those things will be with us always. That sense of to achieve, to serve a purpose that is eternal and perfect. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until that day, right?
Yeah, that day. Well, what day I want to see first? I want to see us get to the level on this planet, in this lifetime, where we can exist, and there's nothing called money anymore. It's just compassion running everything. Because I think that step has to come on this planet before we even get to the next world. That if we can't get to the level where we realize that we don't need money to live, then we're stuck. we're stuck. We're not going to evolve past that, you know, because it's going to limit our potential. We can't do this because we don't have enough money. We can't do that because we don't. We're going to have to get past that because we're going to continue to limit our potentials if we keep putting this ceiling called money on top of us. That's where I would say that the love of money is the root of all of that evil, because that's the evil, you know. That's the evil. So I always tell people, why continue to incorporate something in your system that you know is evil? I mean, you say you don't love it, then why do you incorporate it into your system if you don't love it? To me, it's like, if you don't love it, then create a system where you don't even need it, because you really don't. You really don't. You think you do, but money doesn't create anything. We do. We do. So when we can get to that level right here on this planet of just creating things and money doesn't have nothing to do with it, then we're going to move to the next level. But until that day, because, see, that's a day, too, when there's a world with no money. That's a day. But it doesn't end there.
Long way ahead.
You know, that's just a step. But we've attained that level to where, wow, there's no money anymore. Right? It's just love. Mm. It's just love. And everyone's living their passion. They're not based on a salary. No, it's based on what I love to do. I love playing music. Some people love playing football. Some people love teaching. Some people love driving a truck. Well, guess what? No matter what everyone is doing, is based on passion and love. No money. They wake up and they go to work every day happy because they're doing what they love. To me, that day has to come before we even get to the next realm. That if we can't attain that, then we haven't gotten there because we still think we need money. It's not. In other words, love is not driving us. Money is. Money is. Because when it's not driving us anymore, it won't even exist anymore. It won't even exist. Whereas we won't even be, our children won't even know that word because it'll be something that even comes in. Why would we tell them? Money? What is that? What is money? No. But they know about work. They don't know about money because they know about work. Because that's the commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It had nothing to do with money. It was just a commandment that God said. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. You must work. You know? So if we can just tell our children work and they don't know nothing about money, then they'll work. And they won't work for money. They'll work because they know that's a commandment from God. And that's it. And when we can get to that level, then they'll choose the work that they love, not based on how much money I can get paid, but based on, no, what I love. That's it, because we created that platform for them. We keep perpetuating this madness because we keep telling the next generation, you need money, you need money, you need money. Well, that's just going to perpetuate the madness because they're going to get money one way or another.
That's
and if they got to sacrifice their own passion, they're going to sacrifice their passion to get money.
That's,
you know, and then they're going to be miserable. They're going to be stressed out. So my idea of that day is, how can we get to that level now on this earth to where we don't even need money anymore, but yet we still have all the things we need. We have automobiles. We have planes. We have all of that. But it's not money driving it. It's not money creating it. It's we. It's the love that we know what we need. We're serving each other. We need a plane. We'll build a plane because we need one. That's just service. Not money, you know, it's service. We need
service
that.
Is
well,
God's
build it.
Economy.
That's what I mean. It's just like we created because based on need. Now look at all the things that would disappear because money creates things that we don't even need because somebody's just trying to make money. It's not that we need it. No, I need to make money, so I'm going to create this thing even though I know we don't need it but it's going to make me some money. And so we got all of this stuff that's here that would just immediately disappear because why? Money is gone. Money's gone. Nobody's not trying to do that. That was just there because somebody was trying to make money. That's all. So when you remove that factor, look at all the stuff that disappears. So only thing that's going to remain is what we really need. That's it. So we're not going to waste our time working on something that we don't need because it's not money is not the motivating factor here. It's just what we need. We're serving each other. If we can't attain that level, saying the love that we know here, then we're fooling ourselves. If we can't see a world without money that we've created, and not money is behind it, then I don't see us getting to the next planetary level nowhere, that we didn't learn our lesson on this planet, because that's what I feel this planet was created for us to learn the lesson, that we don't need money for nothing. We wasn't born with it. It wasn't part of the garden. It wasn't part of paradise. You know, it's man created that. You know, we did that. We did that to ourselves. So how can we undo it? Because it wasn't there. We have to undo it. We did it. So if we can't undo it, then that's it. We're just going to perpetuate the madness, and we're never going to have enough money to do nothing based on how the economy is going. If it keeps going the way it's going,
all right,
yeah.
All right. Hey, man, I don't want to cut you off again. Forgive me for last time. But I did want to just bring Andre into this discussion if I could, Ira. Is that okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Because, you know, hey, listen, let me tell y'all something. Please stop me when I start, because I will keep going on and on and on and on. And I don't get offended when people stop me, you know.
No,
I don't get offended.
You had something to say. And it's very important. And I think you brought up a wonderful topic.
Just,
it services God's economy. But, Ben, Andre had to drop off because he had a board meeting, and he apologized to everybody on the board. And I know that both you and Pato wanted to chime in and say something here, so I want to give you guys a chance.
Oh, well, just backing up Brother Ira there. I mean, what we're doing with Uday is an example of a step towards that. No one's getting paid for this event. We've got to... everyone is basically volunteering their time and services, and that has challenges because, of course, people have busy lives and they've got many commitments, and so trying to organize something with volunteers is notoriously difficult. But it is something where we're doing this for love, not for money, IRA. So that's a sort of a step towards what you're talking about. It's probably a discussion about the value of commerce and competition is probably another big topic that perhaps is for another day. But certainly this is something that that we're trying to pull together on those values of doing it for the common good, and it's not a commercial venture. So I think that's definitely in line with what Brother Henry was saying. Did you want to add something, Pato, Antoinette?
I just wanted to say, I wanted to really thank you, Ben, for making this possible for us. We're very, very excited to go to Chiang Mai and be involved in New Day. And, the atmosphere, globally right now is very different. It's very different than anything we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, when we're approaching a time that has been prophesied as being an event, people start talking about it and the spiritual temperature rises,
mm-hmm.
There's been a few times in my life where there's been major events coming up that everyone has been looking forward to and with expectations, and anticipations. And recently we had a big Christian movement talking about the rapture. And now we have the Mayan calendar, which is supposed to coincide with U-Day. And there's a lot of people anticipating. Some people are in fear. I'm constantly counseling people to not live in fear about what's coming, and I constantly tell them that whatever's coming is going to bring more light to this darkness that we're living in. So, be excited, be happy, and don't look at it as an end, but look at it as a new beginning. So for me, this December the 21st, 22nd, 22nd in particular will be a new day, and whether the Western calendar is totally in sync with the Mayan calendar or not, because based on the Urantia book, we're 7 years out of sync. But, I think globally, the awareness will be set for December the 21st. And I think it's a great time for people to come together spiritually and appreciate life, appreciate existence, appreciate the planet, appreciate each other. And if we can really be celebrating the things that we have in common and look forward to a brighter future, this is going to be a really, really great event, And, like I was saying earlier, being spiritually neutral and not belonging to a religion, sometimes, like Chris Lynn was saying, you can feel left out, and people do need something mm-hmm. to belong to, what we do is we try to just attach ourselves to every religious group and enjoy their worship, enjoy their praise, and also surround ourselves with people as well who are not attached to religion but just want to celebrate spirituality and celebrate God, and I think this kind of event and other events like this which are happening around the world are just a sign of the times that things are changing. They're changing slowly, but they are changing, you know, and in a time to come, all of the things that we dream about and aspire will come to pass on this planet. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but while we are here, we can plant seeds, you know, we can promote the highest truths that we know. We can share the highest truth and the love that we share with our brothers and sisters, and especially the younger generation need to hear it. You know, the youth is our future, so the more we can invest in the young people, the more we can impress upon them the importance of sharing truth, of sharing ideas, of getting close to people of different cultures and different beliefs, is going to be a massive investment into the future of our planet, and all the things that we have learned and experienced won't be lost when we leave, as long as we are willing to pass it on and share it.
Yeah, well said, Patra.
Very well said. Yeah. Thank you. And I think that's important to have that perspective, that eternal perspective. That, you know, we can't make anything happen now. We can only cultivate the prerequisites for these great changes to happen. Each step is a baby step, but as long as we're moving in the right direction, we have every reason, I think, to be hopeful and positive. And, you know, I have to go back to one of my favorite quotes from the book. It says that our planet, Urantia, is now quivering on the brink of one of its most amazing and enthralling epics of social readjustment, moral quickening, and spiritual enlightenment. And I like to take that apart and say, okay, what are they saying here? They're saying, really, these are the three things we need to focus on. We need to focus on social readjustment. We need to focus on moral quickening. And we need to focus on spiritual enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we all could say that these things need to happen, and they are happening. You know, the changing climate of the world is really, you can see what they mean. It's actually creating an environment where we have to adjust socially. We have to readjust socially. We have to quicken our morality. We simply have to, if we're going to get along in a global village, and we have to be spiritually enlightened, which means everything you guys have been saying, learning to accept and even embrace and celebrate another person's faith that they believe.
Well, and just a short pause here. We're getting down to the last 15 minutes of the program. We'd like to announce for any listeners who've joined us more recently, who haven't been with us since the beginning of the show. Today we're talking with Ben Bowler from Australia and Pato Bantan, who's joining us from the West Coast, and Ray, who's joining us from New York area on the East Coast, and Cosmic Citizen. And we're talking about the U Day Festival, to be held in Chiang Mai, Thailand, on the 22nd of December of this year. And Ben, I'd like to just ask you to reiterate for our listeners how they can find out more about this event, and if they want to come to the event, how they might participate. I know we have a lot of Urantia Book readers in the Scandinavian areas, Sweden, Denmark, Finland. Many of those people regularly vacation in Thailand. That seems to be a really popular vacation spot for people from that part of the world. There are quite a few Urantia Book readers in that area, and many people who are interested in your interfaith movement. How could people who are interested in coming to the event find out more about it? Do you have anything set up for lodging or for registration, or is it just a first come, first serve kind of thing?
Thank you. Thanks, Krishna. So we have the website, uday2012.com. So uday2012.com. you can go there, you can book, and you can either just come to the concert itself and look after your own accommodation, or you can get a VIP package, which means you can hang out at the official hotel and also hang out with Pato, Antoinette, and Ira, continue these kind of discussions live and direct with our stars, and you get VIP access, and you get just the whole accommodation and food and everything. So there are packages available, and of course they help us to fund the event. We also have the web, the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Universal Day. You could just search U space Day in Facebook, and you'll probably find it. And we have quite a lot going on through the Facebook page. So there are different ways people can contact us if they want more information, or if they want to reach out and talk about sponsorship or getting involved or doing something in their local hometown. You can write to us at info@uday2012.com.
And specifically, what kinds of sponsorship do you need right now?
Thank you for asking. We are looking for sponsorship for sound system, lighting, stage, security for the concert. It's going to be a concert with about 1,000 to 1,200 people. So there are significant costs. We can't ask a high amount for local people to come, so we're asking around about $10 for locals to get in. But we're going to need some support to set up the event itself. So if people were interested in donating a few hundred dollars for an individual or for a business who wanted to sponsor $1,000 or more, that would be a really, really wonderful assistance for us at the moment. Just because this is a non-profit event, we're all volunteers. It's taking up quite a lot of my time, and there are people working in Chiang Mai who are also volunteers. It's taking up quite a bit of their time. We have the team in place, but we are looking for some support or some sponsorship for those logistical things.
Thank you, Ben. Would you guys be willing to take a call or two?
Sure.
Okay, because I think we have an international caller here on the line with us, and I'd like to put it through.
Hello?
Caller, you're with us. Hello.
Hi, Paula. It's Gary Tong from the UK.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hello, everybody.
So glad you called.
Hi, Gary.
Hey there.
How's it going?
It's going very well. I really just wanted to phone up to give you guys my blessing and best wishes to for this U Day thing that you're organising. It sounds absolutely amazing, and also to say if there's any little thing I can possibly help you with, I'll do that. So please contact me if you guys do find you need anything in particular, like flyers or any sort of materials doing. I'll do my best to do that for you.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
You have already been contributing, Gary, because I've used some of your backdrops and included it in the UDA art.
That's what I like to hear, Pato.
you are such a major, major influence in this movement, and
yeah.
I really, really love and appreciate you, bro.
Me
well,
too.
You know, likewise, guys. I love you guys, and I love all the work you guys are doing. You're so selfless with your works. You're so hardworking. It's wonderful to work with you guys. So I just wanted to phone to say how much I appreciate what you're working towards. I can't wait to see what happens on that day. I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to read all about it. And I just wanted to wish you the best. I mean, I am in the middle of trying to get children ready for bed, but I had the radio on. I just thought, I've got to ring these guys while they're all on together and say something nice.
Wonderful.
That's so
Thank
nice
you.
Of you to call in. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Thank you.
No,
so
not
Gary.
No trouble at all. Now, I'll let you guys carry on because I want you to finish the discussions you're having so people can hear all about it. So I will wish you all God bless, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Thank
good
you
night,
so much
friend.
For calling,
good
Gary.
To hear your voice,
my
Gary. Have a good evening.
God bless, guys.
God bless.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Until that day.
We have one more caller. Let's see if we can get this person on as well. Area code 214, you're with us on the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello, family.
This is David in Dallas.
Oh,
how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I wanted just a little progress report because you are all a part of a spiritual conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked with Brian McLaren last week.
Yes.
I am going to meet him Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Wow. Got the ticket. He's going to be in town. So
right.
I got my ticket. I'm ready to go.
Well,
yeah.
Wonderful.
For you. You'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My question, this seems like right up our alley here, but it looks like the world conditions, monetarily and whatever, are going to be getting the heat up to where everybody in the world is going to have to make a decision. They got to go with God or they got to go with the system. And if we're there to non-religiously let them know that they have that spirit of God in them, that chip off the old block, and then we can inspire them to make a connection.
Mm.
And they can, in pursuit of their own truth, they'll get to where they need to go. But if we can help them make that contact, that's I can talk to anybody as long as they're interested in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we talked about a Satanist that we helped, along the way to truth. So it doesn't matter the religion. If they are in pursuit of the truth and we're there doing what we're supposed to do, because we'll stumble into the right place if we follow our thought adjuster. So
there
just to get a little feedback from them, because this looks like it's all fitting in this cosmic plan to bring forth that light and love.
What's your name, brother? What's your
David.
Name? David. 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 Has anyone ever told you you got a voice like Johnny Cash?
we were talking about that yesterday, but it wasn't Johnny Cash.
All right.
Thank you.
I think
that.
That's beautiful. It's resonant. It sounds beautiful. I think you're accurate. And as we get closer to that day, that perfection that's that, as these guys were saying, is never fully attained, but which drives a motivation. I think if things get better, in some ways it's going to get worse as well. And people are sometimes mm-hmm. talking about that, and whether that's the convulsion of the old passing away into the new,
mm-hmm.
There is going to be, there's going to be turbulence. There is turbulence. I mean, it's a turbulent world, isn't it? So I think if you're absolutely right, David, if we're able to give people that optimism and that hope and that comfort and that guidance and that inspiration, if we're able to share that through the work that we do, then what a blessing, what a fortunate thing that is for us to be able to contribute to. And certainly the work that Pato and Antoinette and Ira are doing through their music is delivering that hope and that optimism and that spiritual nutrient straight to the heart. And I think that maybe the choice is going to get starker. I know a lot of people are saying that the same thing. If that happens and if that is the way that it goes, then let's stand up together and shine as brightly as we can.
Can I say something?
Absolutely, Pato.
I'd like to ask Paula, before I say what I want to say, I'd like to ask Paula, could you just read that quote again, Paula, about quivering on the brink?
Oh, of course. Let me see if I can get it again. Urantia is now quivering on the very brink of one of its most amazing and enthralling epochs of social readjustment, moral quickening, and spiritual enlightenment.
All right, Paula, when was that written?
Well, let's see. That's paper 195. I would say that was probably written in 1940.
Okay. And in 1940, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have TV. We didn't have internet. Would that be right to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, you're wrong. We did have all of those things. I'm just joking about them.
Okay. So
it's important to remember that.
I really think if that was written 70 years ago, that we may have kind of teetered over the brink, and we're actually experiencing right now what these revelators were talking about.
Yes.
If we look at the world now compared to 1940, it is very enthralling to see that the world has become such a small place through all the forms of communication and technology that we now have available to us. And you can see the uprisings by the people in so many countries right now who are not willing to sit back and be misruled by, you know, unfair rulers, and religionists are having to look at their religion and reflect based on people standing up and saying, this is not right, this is not fair. Women are now standing up in Muslim countries and some of them giving their lives to bring about change. You know, there is a moral awakening. And I think as well, all of these things are happening naturally. You know, when we change our environment, our environment affects us. So when things start to change in our environment, and especially on a global level like it is now, you know, people can have thoughts and post them up to the world, you know, in less than 5 seconds. You know, musicians can make songs and present them to the world as soon as they finished it. You don't have to go through the process of going for a record label, a pressing plant. You know, you can make a video of something you see happening on the street, of an injustice or of something beautiful, and present it to the world immediately. So the world, our environment, our global environment now is getting smaller and smaller. And because of that, people are being called to task, to upstep their morality, to upstep their ethics. And when more and more people start to reflect on their moral behavior and their ethical conduct, we become more spiritual. So I really think that we are living in these times now that the Revelators was talking about. And rather than sitting back and waiting for something dramatic to happen, we should really realize that what's happening right now today is dramatic. And we should dive in and be involved in this awesome, enthralling experience that the planet's going through, and be the change that we want to see, because we are not alone. We've got midway creatures, seraphims, cherubims, guardian angels, thought of justice working from within us, the spirit of truth, the mother spirit, the seven adjutant spirits. We've got so many beings and spirits on our side that there's nothing stopping us from changing this world and making it what we want to be. So I'm just so excited to be alive right now, and I really think that every day is an enthralling day for us to jump into this globe and bring about change.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
Hear, hear.
You know,
we are, Pato.
Yeah, me too, and we are out of time, but it would be such a treat, Pato, if you could say a prayer to end our show. Would you be willing to do that?
I would be more than happy to say that.
That would be wonderful.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a few deep breaths. Oh, dearest Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've given to us and all that you do for us on a daily. Thank you for your personality circuit that allows you to be in touch with us directly, that we don't need a middleman or even a middle spirit to talk to you and share our problems with you. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive on this planet during these times, during these trying times, these times of tribulation, these times of war and suffering, because these are the times that the angels want to be down here. These are the times when the celestials want to get involved and roll up their sleeves and help us bring about change. And we embrace the support. We embrace all the help that is out there for us. And we don't take the inspiration for granted, because we know all the inspiration we get is from you, Heavenly Father, and through all the channels that you have created to be with us. And we just want to say thank you for diversity and freedom of choice, that all these different people from around the world can be free to choose their religions, to have a truth that they belong to have a pathway that they can find that suits their personal needs and that will reach to you. And I hope and pray that the people who find this fifth apocalypse revelation of yours will maintain that neutral attitude of service and worship and praise, and try our best to infiltrate every religion and every avenue of this planet so we can be of increasing service without getting in the way, you know, by becoming channels for your love, channels for your grace, channels for your mercy, channels for your service. I just want to say thank you for Cosmic Citizen and for all the work they do. Thank you for us, IRA, for spreading hope across the world. Thank you for Ben Boland for breaking down all of these barriers, or at least lowering the height of these barriers, so that instead of having to climb them, we can step over them and reach each other in love. Thank you for Gary Tong, who is isolated in the UK, but has played such a major role in the image and in the progress of the Urantian movement. And thank you for all the other people, not just Urantians, but people of every single faith that committed and dedicated to bringing a change in this world. And I just want to say thank you for all things, my awesome Heavenly Father, in your divine Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 And what a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah.
What does amen mean?
What's that?
What does amen mean?
Until that
so
day.
So be it.
Until that day.
So that day.
Even so be. Even so and may it be.
Even so may that day come.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing you're about to do is just have a little simple prompt to have everybody on the same page. So until right. that day, yeah. doing that. Until that day.
That day.
So until that you, day.
So right. you are, if you believe in God, don't believe in God until that day.
There you go.
And thank well, we're you off so the much. Air now. So thank you all so much for being with us. Thank you for all of our guests and our listeners. And we
and
hope you'll
call.
Join us again next week.
Thank you,
when
Crystal
we have
Lund,
Steve
and,
McIntosh.
For setting us up. And thank you, Paula, for great insight and wisdom.
It's absolutely a pleasure. And thank you all for calling in the middle of the night. Or Pato for getting up after being up until 3 a.m., and Ben for getting up at 3 a.m., and Ira, it was such a pleasure to talk to you all, and until next time.
Bye for now.
Martha, thank you for that blessing, brother. That's absolutely awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to be meeting you guys and Antoinette and be there with Brother Ira in a few short months.
God bless all of you.
Well, we'd like to have you on again after the event to tell us about how it went.
Of course.
All right.
Absolutely.
Godspeed.
All right, thanks so much.
Godspeed. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Thank you
Bye-bye.
Very much. Hey, Ira, enjoy New York, man. Let's talk soon.
One perfect love until that day.
Until that day,
brother. Until that day.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.